let's remain standing and sing number 40, Ascribe Greatness to Our God the Rock. I don't have it on the overhead, so you'll have to pick up your book, but it's number 40, Ascribe Greatness to Our God the Rock. His deeds are perfect and all his ways are just. Let's sing this. Repeat the welcome. If you're visiting with us this morning, you're especially welcome, and please stay afterwards for tea and coffee. The other announcement for this week is that there will be a prayer meeting at 7 o'clock, at 8 o'clock on Thursday in the church here. So if you can, please make time to come and pray with us together here in the church at 8 o'clock. Let's just pray together. Our great God, we want to praise you this morning. We want to come before you and tell you how great you are. We praise you because you are holy and because you are powerful. We thank you that you are bigger than us, that you are bigger than our problems, that you are bigger than anything that we can do ourselves. And we just want to give you our praise and worship. And we want to thank you most of all for Jesus, and that you have rescued us from our sin and given us new life. So we give you thanks for that. We thank you as well for every blessing you give us. We thank you for the sunshine again this morning. We thank you for the food on our tables, for the friends and family you put around us. And we just thank you for each good gift that you've given us. And Lord, as we thank you, we also remember those who have less than us. We pray for people in ill health or sick. We pray for the elderly that we know around us. We pray for the lonely, the people that are grieving and have gone through loss. Lord, we lift them up to you as the source of all comfort. And we ask, Lord, that you would be especially close to those people, Lord. Lord, we just pray for the children in our church. We ask, Lord, that you would give them a faith while they are still young, to put their trust in Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that as we bring them up, Lord, that we would have a faith like theirs, that we would enter your kingdom with a childlike faith, trusting in you as we see our children grow. And Lord, we pray as well for the suffering church. We pray for those in countries that it is difficult to be a Christian. We pray for the war in Ukraine and the Christians affected there. and the many people that are helping support those in need in your name. And we just pray for those. Pray that you would supply their needs, Lord, that we would be able to help them. And Lord, we pray for countries like Afghanistan as well, and Sudan and Congo, where war is continuing to tear through and make such difficult circumstances. And we ask, Lord, that the God of peace would act and move in these situations and bring peace and a knowledge of you, Father. So we ask that you bless us now as we continue to read your word and to praise you in singing. And we just ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Alyssa and Rebecca to come up now. And the next reading we're going to look at is Psalm number 19. And Rebecca is going to start reading that as first. Thanks.
Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived in his warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words in my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Lord, my rock, my redeemer.
Thank you both very much. That was very well read. I'm going to ask the same question again as we read the last passage. How does God show his power in this chapter? Well, I'm really captivated by the images coming out of the James Webb telescope, and these can be accessed on the NASA or Space Telescope Science Institute website this afternoon. And this one is called the Cartwheel Galaxy. And you can tell how it gets its name. It's called the Cartwheel Galaxy. These images are taken using infrared light, light that we can't even see with our eyes, traveling towards us from unimaginably far away. And no humans in history have been able to see some of these distant parts of God's creation before. But this Psalm tells us that these images of the skies speak to us. They don't use words, but their voice goes out through all the internet to the ends of the earth. What are these images saying? They tell and they proclaim the work of his hands. They declare the glory of God. They make us feel small, but they tell us that God is big. Really big and powerful and holy. There's no other God like him. And how does this psalm say that God's holiness affects people? Well, this psalm says that God's law is holy and perfect. How does it affect those who keep his law? It refreshes the soul. It gives joy to the heart, light to the eyes. Doesn't that sound great? God's law is more precious than diamonds, and it's sweeter than Haribo. If the stars shout God's glory, let us sing in our hearts to the word of God, the creator and savior of the world. all heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord. So let's sing that song together. We'll sing one more song while we're sitting here. We'll sit down for this one, that's fine. Number 27, Almighty God, we give you praise. And I meant to do this before, but we'll take up the offering and the next song. So let's sing this one together. Number 27, Almighty God, we give you praise, and we'll stay seated. Chapter 3, we're going to the New Testament now. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 23 all the way to chapter 4 verse 7.
Children of God, before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child, and since you are his child, God has made you also an heir.
Well, this passage tells us more about what God's holy law, given at Mount Sinai, is for. Remember the questions, how does God's holy law affect people? Well, these verses say that we were locked up under the law. What does that mean? Well, God's law is holy, but we are not. No matter how hard we try, we have no hope of keeping God's law. So although we have heard that God's law is holy and good, and it's more precious than gold, able to refresh our soul, give joy to our heart, we are stuck at the bottom of the mountain with no way of reaching God at the top. But what does verse 4 say? Well, verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son by his power to make a holy people who until now had been under the judgment of God and his holy law. And so how did God show his power in this passage? Well, he turns people who are slaves into sons. He adopts them as children. How are we changed from slaves to the law to holy children of God? By faith. Faith not in our holiness, but in God's holiness given to us in Jesus. We're going to sing, by faith we see the hand of God. We will stand as children of the promise. We'll fix our eyes on him, our soul's reward. So let's sing these words together.
Thank you.
have one final reading. Reuben is going to come and read to us 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 to 31. Thank you, Reuben.
For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of the God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord.
Thank you, Reuben. So again, the same question, how did God show his power? Well, it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Yes, God showed his power in the cloud and the thunder, in giving his holy law at Sinai, but the cross, the death of the Holy Son of God, is the greatest display of God's power. The law of God is still perfect, but it took more power from God to make his people holy and perfect than to shake the mountain or even make the stars. Even though it might seem like weakness for Jesus to die, Jesus was powerfully breaking the chains of slavery to sin for me and you, if we have faith in him. And how in this passage did God's holiness affect people? Verse 30 says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our holiness. We could not become holy ourselves, so Jesus has done it for us. He became holy on our behalf, if we have faith in him. This, the power of the cross, Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Let's sing this together.
Thank you.
Our God, we acknowledge your power in the cross, and we thank you that you became holiness for us. We give you our grateful thanks as your holy people, not deserving, but covered by your amazing grace. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Our service is finished, and we will have tea and coffee in a moment. Please stay and chat and enjoy that. Thank you.